one of the best bits of doing the Amplified job at an event like this is I get to go and find all the smartest minds in the building. And one of my favourite thinkers around here is David Jennings. Hello, David.
Hi, Steve.
not wanting to kind of set you up to have to be really, really bright. I know. But I really do like your perspective on most things. So sum up the day so far.
Well, I've been to a couple of sessions since the plenary, and I'll talk about those because everybody was at the plenary, supposedly. I went to this thing on the transforming learning stream, and to challenge my prejudice about games in learning, because I've always had a little bit of a prejudice that games are kind of used as to sugar the pill. You know, it's just a way of sort of sneaking in learning under the radar of by dressing it up as something else. And I'm not sure that, you know, learning should be dressed up as something else. So it's an interesting session in some ways. I mean, it was too short to really get stuck in. Engagement was the thing. My hunch is still that people get more by engaging with other people than they do engaging with clever software, no matter how clever it is. But there were some interesting examples that I'd like to look into some more. There was a game about flood simulation, which apparently has had 100,000 plays already, floodsim.com, and there was another one on violence and extremism. I'd certainly sort of, I want to challenge my prejudices and look into that a bit more.
Do you think that the thinking about games and education, because it is particularly computer-enhanced gaming and education, it's such a novel area. Do you think that novelty is still what drives a lot of the thinking about it, and that at some point in the future we're going to settle down to the place where it's useful rather than the place where it's all shiny?
I am a cynic about this, and I think that I have to preface it with that so you can discount what I'm about to say should you wish to. But I think that a certain number of government agencies, of which Nest is one, just want to be cool and hang out with the kids, and they think that getting in with the games industry is a way of doing that. And also, they want to do the interactive 3D. Yeah, it is that shiny new stuff. I mean, I was involved in a virtual reality for learning things in 1991, and what people learned more about was actually just the interaction with a young technology than they did from the actual environment.
Yeah.
So of course people will. I'm not dismissing the whole field. That would be stupid. But I think this shiny, cool, young, sexy thing, and government departments—they're a sucker for it.
A cautionary note. And the second session?
Well, I went to the BBC Archives thing, which Tony Agé, I hope I'm pronouncing his name properly, I missed the introduction, who's sort of in charge of BBC Archives, was talking eloquently and lots of sound stuff about how they need to open up this, using the metaphor of the archive as a mine, with a lot of rich scene that was... He felt that a lot of people post Greg Dyke, I think, had been put off by the sheer scale of the endeavour of actually digitising and opening access to it. And that they, in order to get over that, they needed to open it up to the public and not just let them see it, but then let them actually do stuff with it and manipulate it and use that, bring the expert, the crowdsource expertise to the party. I was sitting kind of two rows behind Paula Ledieu, who you should definitely interview if you get a chance, because there was no opportunity for questions at the end, and I just listened to it all and felt this is what Paula and her co-director of the Creative Archive were saying 4 or 5 years ago, and nothing. When do we start for proper? Was the question I would have asked, but I'd love to know what Paula was thinking about it as well.
Great, I'll try and catch her later on. Thanks very much.
Okay.